Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. I also like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. And a big shout out to everybody around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service NERS, or if you're tuning in via our app 98.9 FM for the best country, which you can download for free from your app store, so please do so. You can also listen to us via our website 98.9 FM.com.au, and via our website this program is podcasted, so please search up the Let's Talk podcast and you can listen to previous Let's Talk shows. You can also tune in and listen to other interviews and shows from other hosts here on on 98.9 FM as well. And don't forget, you can stream us via Apple Podcast and also Spotify. Those platforms beaming us into your communities. And as always, it is great to have your company. It's a good morning to everybody around the continent, and especially those ones that are tuning in. We have the release of Homelands, the EP from Chasing Ghost. I'm sure you are well aware of this band now. We play them so much on the radio, and I've had a chat with brother Jimmy, the lead man from the band, a few times now. We've broken down some of the songs that have earlier been released off of this EP, which is amazing. Before I hit dial, I listened to the new track Dig, which is available on all platforms, and also there is a music video, so please go check that out. But we'll get to our guest now. Brother Jimmy, how you going?
I'm good, thanks, bro. Good to touch base with you again.
Likewise, and as always, when we always bump into each other, or when we always, you know, meeting your mob, please, your mob and your country.
Yeah, so my name's Jimmy Kyle. For those who don't know, my family's from the Upper Macleay, which is Tangari country. My family comes from there through my grandmother, through Lillis Kyle, who was a Hudson, was also connected with the Quinlan families.
As I just sort of mentioned just then, the EP Homeland is out now. The third track from the there was a third release early this week on the 2nd, which was Dig, an amazing song that sort of takes a journey from the beginning of invasion till now, talking about the issues and what has happened to our people. An amazing song. The film clip, the visuals was good. Showing old footage from different periods of time here in Australia as well. Brother, congratulations on the EP, and then most definitely for continuing to make some good music. I'm always praising you up around the place, but you know, it was a good song, brother. Could you tell us a bit about it?
I appreciate that, thanks, Bo. Yeah, the song is about the, I guess, the invasion of Australia from the Crown, from the British Empire. But it sort of plays out, it touches on lots of different themes, you know, like it sort of has a chronological order of lyrics and a chronological sort of order of different visuals that play through. And it's sort of just asking mainstream non-Indigenous Australia, you know, to get curious about their history. And it sort of, that was really the idea in the back of my mind, was writing a song that made people, you know, dig a little deeper into what the history of the country is, and hence the name Dig. And it sort of, in my head, when the idea was sort of forming, it was, I had that play on words, you know, dig, dig. And then all these different examples of times when you dig. And so then it was the mining industry digging, you know, and digging through our history books. And then, unfortunately, quite often it's digging grave sites to, you know, bury family. And that's sort of how I, you know, lyrically I was twisting around this word dig in my head and all these different examples. And then I started to write some lyrics with the producer, Lincoln Lefevre, who, you know, has done a lot of bands like Luca Brasi from Tasmania and bands like Will Wagner, the singer from Smith Street Band, his solo stuff. And so we were just sort of looking at these ways to tell this story, and it was just asking fellas, you know, start digging into your history. What do you really know? And if you dig a little bit deeper, perhaps, you know, there might be a moral complication where you sort of find yourself digging a hole for yourself. The more you dig on Australian history, the more I think the position that many Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people, not all of us, of course, we all have different opinions, but many of us are really well aware of and stand by is what's happened in this country and that untold history. So it's sort of talking to truth telling and talking to some of the experiences that have happened in our history, and in a way that it's a chronological order. So non-Indigenous people watching the film clip can start to think, well, hang on a minute, what did happen here? And maybe we do need to look into these history books a bit. And it's also a song about affirmation, you know. It's about affirming that this is a black country with a really large white migrant population. It's not a white country. White countries are in Europe. You know, this is a black country in a black part of the world, and we need to be able to calibrate that into sort of our psyche, is to know where we are so we can play our role as a regional partner, and even in domestically, that we understand that First Nations people, this is this land has never been ceded. Our sovereignty, you know, has never been ceded. And that's sort of what the song talks to, yeah.
Like the three songs that have already sort of been released from Homeland, Summer, and Busted Lung, and now Dig, they all speak to the heart. They all speak to the, I guess, people's moral compass, and then also looking at sort of what you mentioned before in terms of truth telling. I think, you know, when we did our previous interview, when I get into sort of, you know, talk about history, I always sort of, you know, say that, you know, one thing that history does is it informs us about our relationships for non-Indigenous peoples. You know, this sort of gives an idea, a visual idea with the film clip about why, you know, Aboriginal people may, and hopefully this sort of justifies people's perception on why Aboriginal people feel the way that we do as well, because, you know, all these things have happened and all these things have been written down, but for some reason or another, they haven't been told. And, you know, I think it's sort of a mantra that you use is, well, if they're not going to read it, you know, they're going to listen to it, you know, you know, like, you know, and you do that so well, brother. But could you tell us, you know, or in your own words as well, about sort of this journey of sort of, you know, truth telling and how important it is, and I guess what it opens up, you know, for, you know, anybody that isn't Aboriginal on this continent?
It's a big question. So let me take it bit by bit. So that, you're right. These first three singles, Summer, Bust a Lung and Dig, are all things that, I guess, hand the microphone to marginalised voices, you know, and that's, I've had the microphone in the band and I've been fortunate to do that, so this has been my opportunity to...
And if I can just sort of jump in, and it's a sort of a personal sort of, you know, it's real personal to you, you know, like in the song you mentioned, you know, I'm Bust a Lung, it's your mate, it's one of your best mates, and then obviously as an Aboriginal person, you know, you have a direct connection to these stories as well.
Yeah, well, it's the lens I see the world through, you know, and it's an interesting lens to see the world through. And I don't think a lot of non-Indigenous people probably quite understand many of the different Aboriginal perspectives and Torres Strait Islander perspectives that are in our community. It's hard to see the world through our eyes unless you can go back and see the catalyst, and you can see the incremental steps to what's occurred in our history. And you're right, you know, when we talk about these songs and that truth-telling part, you know, that's really what these songs have all been about. They're all based on true stories. They're all inspired by true stories because the truth's far more interesting and reveals so much more than fiction. And I sort of didn't really want to write another record just about myself. You know, that's pretty boring and egotistical, and, you know, granted, I'm a singer and singers are pretty egotistical, but I wanted to be able to talk about things that I found more interesting. And quite often they were subjects that involved lots of people and concepts that involved lots of people, you know, and Busted Lung, as you mentioned, you know, having a friend of mine that, you know, we used to live together, we were real good mates for many, many years, and to hear his adversity of being assaulted for being a gay man in a hate crime, I think it just his resilience was one of the things that really stood out to me, and his wisdom in the way that he responded to things. You know, he didn't respond in vengeance. He didn't respond maybe the way that many of us would. Instead, he sort of responded in a very calculated, considered, rational, not reactionary way, knowing that these two men that had committed a hate crime on him probably wouldn't be rehabilitated in prison. And so that theme came up for me as well, you know, the idea that prisons don't really rehabilitate many of our people. Quite often they leave, you know, people with outdated skills, if any, you know, social anxiety, in sort of institutionalized anxieties, and then sort of, right, you're back out on the street and you can't function properly. And then so that revisitism happens, you know, we just return back. And so that was an interesting thing from Busted Lung. And, you know, Summer, of course, about the massacre back home above Nulla Creek there on the Macquarie River near Bellbrook, near Kempsey, you know, the Tower Creek massacre and the only sole survivor. So, again, another story about tragedy, about resilience of people, maybe a perspective that many people don't get to hear outside of our community, outside of the Aboriginal community. And then, you know, again, there are all these sort of moments where I just felt these stories were really important, and no one was sort of, digging towards those stories. You know, they weren't sort of looking around those stories, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do some truth-telling. Obviously, you know, it's always scary to do truth-telling because some people aren't going to like it. And Homelands is just six stories about complicated issues. Quite often, you know, I don't sort of come to the table saying, you need to agree with me on this or you need to think this, but rather, let me tell you this yarn and then you tell me how it makes you feel and think about how it makes you feel. And the response generally has been incredibly supportive, overwhelmingly supportive. And I'm very grateful that it has been. But I think, you know, when things scare you sometimes, and I don't know, Bo, whether you felt like this in different things that you've done with your podcast, but, you know, that truth-telling, there's a lot of freedom and there's a lot of perspective you learn from it. But at the same time, you upset the status quo of how people see events in Australia that haven't been educated, that we haven't talked about properly. And so people sometimes want to attack the person rather than the information, you know, they sort of, so that was potentially part of the problem I was going to face, was telling some really challenging stories about marginalized communities, whether it's the LGBTQIA+ community or whether it's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, and telling some of our history. I was going to face a little bit of backlash, but at the same time, I knew it was the right thing to do. I knew those were the stories that we needed to talk more about, we needed to share more about, because hopefully they would encourage other people to have those yarns as well.
We have moments of, what are people going to think? You know, I think for me with, the podcast that I do outside of work, Frontier War Stories, I think it was more of a thing like, how's my mob going to, react to it, And, you know, because, we're brought up to sort of, think of, what would, these white fellas, I think of what we do as well. And I think, all we're essentially doing, in the platforms that we sort of work in and around is essentially just sort of create a space, and like you were just saying, like whether they want to take it or not, it's here it is, and it is, the stuff that they haven't learned about, and it's usually, us who sort of gets attacked and whatnot as well, and we always continue to see that being played out. That is always, it's always the sort of the justification instead of, the actuality and the history and the knowledge that, all we're speaking is things that have been recorded, so there's no misconstruing in what we're doing, it's just sort of,
The thing that you do and that I do, I notice that the similarity is, is, We know to educate non-Indigenous people, there's going to be a lot of people that can hear the truth with their ears immediately. They'll hear the truth and they'll know it. But there's some people that we're not seen as Aboriginal people. We're not seen as valid sources of historical information. We've always, Aboriginal peoples have been discredited as valid sources of information, and that's happened from the very beginning. So one of the things that you and I both do is not only use the sources of our own peoples, but we also use their written records. And quite often their written records are pretty damning and pretty pretty shocking stuff. So rather than take Blackfella's words on it, if white fellas don't believe us, they can take white fellas' words for it. And not just any old white fella, they can take, people that were in those levels of power, they can take their words, because a lot of these people skited about what they thought at the time was reasonable behaviour towards people of colour. Using both sources, I think, is something that we both do. Sometimes we use those historical sources from European sources, and then there's those sources that we marry up with our own narratives that we've been taught through our own mobs, through our oral histories. But to come back to that part you were saying before about how sometimes the pressure is what will our own people think. For me, it's about making sure those protocols get followed. And with Dig, Dig's got a lot of historical footage in it, and the challenge, of course, is making sure that you obviously get permission to use those historical that imagery, but also bringing people on the journey to do that, and trying to do that on a project that was self-funded, I didn't have a crew of people to do that stuff, and a lot of the non-Indigenous people sort of didn't know those protocols, so I had to make sure that we follow those protocols so we could get a product that everyone was happy with. And the same with Summer, making sure that the Scott family from back home were really happy with the product, and that Thungari mob back home, and big shout out to everyone up at Nulla, that everyone at home was happy with that product as well. That for me is probably been the most enjoyable part of the process, is leaving a body of work that the mob back home feel really happy that one of our stories is out there and is sort of getting more awareness around the Tower Creek massacre. And with Dig is I worked with different mobs to get that historical footage that they feel respected, included, and in the process as well. So that consultation on this record's been, it's made it so much richer, and just so much richer, and opened up new relationships. So I'm really grateful for that experience as well.
So what we might do is take a quick break, and then we'll listen to Dig. We'll play it over the airwaves for our listeners as well, and then we'll come back, and I'd love to just open up a bit more about our Homeland and the release today, and some of the other tracks that we haven't heard yet. There's the three that have been released, and then obviously today the other three with the launch of that as well is out as well. Sure. So we'll talk a bit about those and where people can listen to those as well. And then, if they're, obviously COVID has just sort of hit years as well, so he's gone back into lockdown mode, and if there is eventually any sort of sign of touring or doing anything like that, we'll chat about that as well. But stay tuned to Let's Talk, because coming right now is Dig by Chasing Ghost on Murray Country.
Just a little deeper. You've only started to scratch the surface now. Dig, dig, dig until your nails bleed, until you know what you're calling your home. You dig, dig, you've dug yourself a hole now. Can you feel it and build upon our bones? Seen a black flag fly, flying above. See blood and sand, that's what we're standing on. And someone's lying, but what have we done? We're more than just till the scrub surrenders. Dig, dig, till you claim it as your own. Dig, dig, can you make it through the winter? If we'll burn your crops black in their rows. See a black flag fly, flying above. See blood and sand, that's what we're standing on. And someone's lying, but what have we done? We're more than just holding on. Dig, dig, they promise salvation. just a little deeper. Dig, dig, just a little deeper. Dig, dig, just a little deeper. Dig, dig.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
And that was Dig by Chasing Ghost, punk rock band from Melbourne. The lead singer, Jimmy Kyle, First Nations man, is still joining me on the radio. We've been chatting about Dig. We also mentioned Busted Lung and then also Summer as well. Three amazing tracks that look at, that delve into the history of this country and look at sort of the truth-telling aspect and why that's so important as well. Brother, with the launch of that, of Dig, you know, on the 2nd of this month, you know, today, you know, the EP launches as well. What can we expect with the other three tracks, I believe?
Yeah, probably similar kind of vibes, like the, you know, first three singles, obviously all about sort of true stories and inspired by true stories. And the same can be said for these other three tracks that are out today on Homelands. And we sort of discuss, you know, lots of different issues on this record, but there's a track called Wear My Medals, which is pretty close to my heart. It's about a dear friend of mine that he come back from Afghanistan as a veteran, you know, wasn't really supported to the degree that he should have been by the RSL or by Veterans Affairs, and sadly took his own life. And you know, and that story is an important story to me, you know, because he had to really fight one war over there and then only to come back here and fight another war. And you know, that I think it, for me, that song in particular, you know, where we've got we're losing more veterans when they return home than we are actually in combat abroad, because they're not being supported properly. And, you know, I think it's foolish and dangerous, but I think it's disrespectful. You know, I don't think we should ever have been in a conflict, and I don't think we should have been in Afghanistan, period. But at the same time, if we send young men and women and young people to go and serve in these conflicts, surely a first world nation that is incredibly wealthy can find the resources to be able to support people on their return. And I'm sure in some cases that does happen, but in this circumstance it didn't. And again, it was another voice that needed the microphone, and I had the microphone, so I've sort of given this topic an opportunity for people to discuss it, hopefully. Wear My Medals, another great track that's out today on Homeland, so I hope people enjoy that. And now now that they know a little bit more about what the subject's about. Kids Raise Kids, another song that I'm really proud of on Homeland, just about two young parents, you know, that are separated and trying to raise a child together. And I think it's a universal story. You know, there's a lot of young people raising kids, and I think sometimes not given the credit that they deserve about how difficult it is for young people raising kids, because it's difficult for people in their 30s and 40s doing it. So, you know, when you see these young couples that are doing it, I think we've got to rally around them, give them that support as well. And there's sort of a bit of a narrative in that song around making sure that the kids don't get used as pawns against parents, that it's important that both parents, you know, put the child first, of course, and their relationship with their significant parent, with the other significant parent, that they, you know, foster that relationship, that they try and maintain it. You know, sometimes we grow up in those families where you'll get one parent running down the other parent. Not only is it not a good look, it's detrimental to the child, because that child doesn't hear you running down their parent. They hear you running down them. And, you know, that's what Ruby, that kids raise kids, you know, and the narrative of a young girl, Ruby, sort of being quite little and navigating this space of her parents have been separated. And it sort of talks to these two parents trying to grapple with the and wrestle the sort of the challenges of being separated parents co-parenting together. So to me, I felt like that's another important story that we sort of don't talk about much. And the last track, which is Hometown Strangers in an Urban Dreaming, that's a really interesting song for me because it was about is another one based on a true story, which was about a Koori fella that grew up in a country town with this other white fella, Gaba fella, and they were mates growing up as kids. And then they sort of went their separate paths. And then they would, you know, the black fella was down on Smith Street with mob near the Grace Darling Hotel. And there was, across from the Grace Darling, there's this sort of area where a lot of mob would get together and maybe just have a smoke or a yarn, or some of the mob sleeping rough would, you know, connect up with other sort of fellas living in the city. And this black fellow, this friend of mine, he spotted this white fellow coming up the street, and he recognized him from years ago. And the white fellow never recognized him. And he went over and he said to him, hey, you know, how you going? And he said, oh, you know, I don't have any money. And that was his first response. He didn't recognize him. He thought he was like humbugging him for walang, for money. And he said, you know, no, it's me. Like, we went to school together. I knew you. And the line of the song is, I didn't want money. I wasn't going to ask. I knew you back in class and I'd heard your dad passed away. And that was the sort of, this story is about sort of how quick that people can judge another person on the street, even if they've grown up together, and how lives can go in separate sort of pathways. So, you know, this fellow was walking up the street and he tried to, you know, dodge to the other side of the road just to avoid, you know, seeing mob and thinking, oh, this mob's going to sort of ask for money. But instead, you know, brother was coming up sort of trying to give his condolences and saying, hey, look, it's me. And, you know, I heard your father passed away. I'm sorry to hear that. So it's an interesting sort of story talking about these two fellas growing up together and then sort of their lives going on different paths. And I guess, you know, it has that subtle, well, not so subtle tone of prejudice, you know, being addressed in it as well at the same time. Like, don't judge a book, you know, by its cover. Don't leap to assumptions on people. So it's another important story. And I feel, you know, for me, Homelands is six really important true stories. So I hope people check it out. I hope they enjoy it. And for all the mob that have been supporting Chase and Ghost, I appreciate it deeply. I appreciate it deeply. And I'm out here supporting us.
Definitely look forward to listening to those tracks a little bit later today as well. As Brother Jimmy just mentioned, they're all out now. They're all, you know, there's some of them have film clips as well. So you can go to YouTube, Chasing Ghosts as well. But where can we, obviously YouTube's a platform, but you know, you're on all the other streaming platforms with the release of the EP as well?
Yeah, I would, you know, if you're on Apple Music, get on Apple Music, get at it. If you're on Spotify, you know, subscribe, get at it. If you're at YouTube, click subscribe as well, get at it. And, you know, come out to a show. The best thing that, the best part that I've found is so many more, you know, First Nations people coming out to shows, telling me a yarn, you know, knowing someone in common, just feeling comfortable, you know, to yarn up and to come out to shows. I love it. I think it's been great. So anyone who can jump across the social media and check it out, you'll find it at all platforms. But make sure when we get to shows again, come out to a show and say g'day.
Got to see you down in Lismore for Converge. You flew up, I think it was the day of the gig. Buck was there, Mac Ridge, Fred Leone. It was an awesome lineup of performers. I think even some of the local brothers jumped up in between some of the sets as well. It was good, brother. Like, you know, the live presence of people performing is always, you know, like listening to their music never does justice to sort of how they transform sort of on the stage, and all of you's had that sort of presence on stage. It was amazing to see.
It was deadly. Converge was awesome, my bro. Like, it was so many good artists, and you know, like the other fellas might have been non-Indigenous fellas. That's really their first time they've ever played an all Aboriginal kind of lineup, you know, all Aboriginal event, and they become the biggest fans of every artist on that bill. You know, they're just like, it made them so, I think they were bored with me. So they were like, bruh, these artists, they're unreal. You know, they were blown away and have become massive fans. And they said it was one of the best gigs they've ever done. So that for me is great. Like, I love seeing my non-Indigenous mates connecting, you know, and starting to learn more and starting to get it. And they're fired up, they're passionate allies on side, so they had a great time. Lismore was a great time. It was great to see you there, of course. Chloe Barker, she's just off the head. She's just so good. It was fire that night.
Well, just sort of in wrapping up, brother, with the interview, is there anything else that you'd like to sort of finish on in terms of the release of, I mean, all the songs now, the whole EP is out now. You know, obviously, everybody get out on your social media platforms, follow Chasing Ghosts, hit up the streaming platforms as well, subscribe to, you know, all those platforms and channels as well. But just in wrapping up, brother, any sort of final words?
I just want to thank you and the show, all the Murray mob up there. Thanks for all the support. And you know, we this one's for the mob. You know, we do this stuff together, and I just want to say thank you. And as soon as COVID has, if you haven't got the immunisation, get it done, so you're not stuck like I am in lockdown in Melbourne again. And as soon as it's lifted, we're going to be out there doing shows again. So save that coin up, come out to a show, and you know, humbug a shirt off me. I'll be giving out some shirts to some mob and giving lots of love and lots of hugs. So just keen to see everyone again.
Dirty brother. If you've enjoyed the program, you can catch the repeat at 7 p.m. tonight, or go to our website at 989fm.com.au and follow the links to the podcast where you can listen to this program. It'll be uploaded a little bit later today. As always, you can check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcast as well. And as always, it is an honor and a privilege to be hosting the show and chatting to all his deadly mob. You are listening to Let's Talk on Murray Country 98.9 FM.
Keep me up at night. How dare you? Up around about four, but make sure she's got a cardigan. The red one I don't wanna cold and ignored on her first day of kindergarten. But it doesn't matter what you say, it's what you do. Even if you don't think she's watching you, she can't take her eyes off you. So don't tell me you love me the same way, the same, same way. Don't tell me you're angry anymore. And don't tell me you love me the same way, the same, same way. And I won't tell you I'm angry anymore. Well, I'm not angry anymore. Another no-show, at least you could have called. I guess your car needs another new starter.